Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 6th of August. It's all things political this hour, but because of the events in Oak Creek, the horrendous shooting, the act of domestic terrorism, we will be focusing on that and the political implications of that. It's hard to have a presidential race when your attention is focused on mass shootings, now in Wisconsin, not very long ago in Colorado. So we ask the question, what kind of conversation do we need? What are policymakers saying about what happened yesterday in Oak Creek? What are presidential candidates saying about this? And why does everything seem so topsy-turvy these days? Craig Gilbert is our guest this hour for All Things Political, a frequent guest on this program, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The second hour of our program this Monday, we will devote entirely to the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. There is a press conference at 10 o'clock. Our news people are on the way to that press conference, so we will know more information about who the shooter was, although that news is coming out this morning that the shooter has been identified as a neo-Nazi who served in the Army for several years, this from the Journal Sentinel, and was assigned to, of all things, psychological operations, or PAOPs. He is a member of a racist white power band known as End Apathy. Craig Gilbert is our guest to talk about the policy implications, the political implications of all of this, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls as well. Craig has also written, he has had a couple front page pieces over the weekend on the presidential race in the state of Wisconsin and the Obama polls doing better in this state than in the country, and also a piece, interesting piece on Saturday, that the governor of the state has not ruled out making an endorsement in Wisconsin's GOP primary for the U.S. Senate. The question is, who is he likely to endorse? What has he already said that may give indications of who he will support? Our phone number always is 800-486-8655, and our email is talk@wpr.org. You can also leave a message on our Facebook page if you would like to do that, and that is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Craig Gilbert, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning.
What an event in Oak Creek, wasn't it? Everybody just feels shocked, I think, this morning, and it's hard to have a presidential race when we have all these shootings going on in the country. People are unnerved.
Yeah, and it's always hard to know what sort of impact this has on the political climate. You know, sometimes events occur and then they sort of disappear from the horizon very quickly, and others, leave a more lasting legacy. And it's always hard to know in which category each event falls into. Certainly, in the short term, it has an immediate impact on the political discussion, political debate in terms of the campaign. You know, the candidates pause to speak to and reflect on what's happened, but often, in the world we live in, these things, people end up moving on, and it's hard to know in the long term what the political implications are, what the implications are on the political culture. Those are very hard questions.
And what about the American people, Craig? We've had two of these horrendous incidents in a 3-week period of time. I don't know what political policy may result as a result of all of this, but I'm sure that people are talking about this all the time. They don't feel very safe. You don't feel safe in a temple. You don't feel safe in a movie theater. It's got to be something that a lot of Americans are saying, what's going on in our country?
Yeah, and it depends on, I think it does depend on the circumstances of the event. I mean, these are two very different events, right? I mean, from what we know so far, and, again, we're probably going to learn a lot more about the Oak Creek event in the next day or two and the coming days. But that, I think that if that turns out to be a hate crime, that has, I think that people sort of react to that, are going to react to that personally differently than, what seems like a more random act of violence. Obviously, they both involve guns, and so that's part of the debate. But on the other hand, we've had a lot of shootings over many years, a lot of mass shootings over many years. And it's hard to sit, look back on everything that's happened and say that it's had a profound impact on public policy.
Mm-hmm. And what about guns? Do you see anybody talking about we need to look at our policy concerning some of these weapons? Or are people saying we just can't take on that issue? It's too politically unpopular.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the latter camp in terms of what my expectations would be.
Mm-hmm.
We've had any number of incidents involving, you know, semi-automatic weapons, involving mass shootings, and in fact, arguably, gun rules have been liberalized over this period of time, in the sense that the so-called assault weapons ban was relaxed or was not renewed the last time it came up. So I'd be surprised if this led to changes in gun laws.
And is that because of the strength of the NRA, Craig?
Well, partly, there's some debate over the strength of the NRA. It's obviously a powerful interest group. And so, yeah, that's part of the picture. Some people think that the strength of the NRA is overstated. Some people don't. But the fact that, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, in the sense that it's some combination of, you could say it's the strength of the NRA. You could also say that it's one of these issues where people on one side of the issue, there's more intensity. People care more on one side of the issue than on the other side of the issue. And all the intensity tends to be on gun issues, on gun rights rather than gun control. And so people who, there's a sort of a perceived political price to be paid for pushing gun control legislation. Public opinion obviously factors into this. I mean, I haven't studied the polls really closely lately, but if there was overwhelming and intense public opinion for gun control legislation, you would think that would work its way through the political system.
You would think that. Are you in Washington now, or are you in Milwaukee?
I'm actually in Washington, but as soon as we're done talking, I'm getting in my car and driving to Milwaukee.
Oh, you are?
To spend some time in the state and the run-up to the Senate primary.
Uh-huh. It was interesting. I spent most of yesterday actually watching, getting back from vacation, a peaceful vacation, and then watching this coverage on television. And there were so many examples of American diversity, the people who were being interviewed who were members of the Sikh temple, I got to tell you, Craig, were these dignified people who were just so moving to listen to, and the police officers who were guarding the other temple. And there was, amidst this horrendous, horrendous event, there was all this goodness that was on display, which was quite something to behold.
Well, and that's, I didn't catch a lot of the coverage, but that's, you know, it's heartbreaking and heartening at the same time. I do think, you know, events like this can bring, you know, do sort of bring people together in a sense, because everybody is reacting against an extreme act. I'm not surprised that was your reaction to the coverage.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be covering the primary. Is the governor going to endorse?
Well, I was a little surprised when he brought it up and indicated that it was an open issue.
Right.
Because he's just sounded, you know, he's talked about being neutral in order to play referee. He even made some comments recently which suggested that he wasn't even going to say who he voted for once it was all done. But it may be that he may endorse. We don't know. It's interesting that he's thinking about it. It may be influenced by this sort of, from the Republican point of view, this kind of very unfortunate and messy circular firing squad that the Republican primary has turned into, and that is discomforting to Republicans to see most of their candidates attacking each other and beating each other up and spending a lot of money and, you know, everybody's negatives are going up, and meanwhile they've got to defeat Tammy Baldwin in the fall. It's a big Senate race. It's going to have an impact on national control of the Senate. So it may be influenced by that, and I think that if he were to endorse, I mean, the most likely candidates would seem to be Tommy Thompson and Jeff Fitzgerald. Jeff Fitzgerald, because he obviously helped the governor implement his agenda once he took office as the assembly speaker, and Tommy Thompson, because the long relationship, and Tommy Thompson was the dominant figure in Republican politics when Scott Walker was cutting his teeth politically as a member of the state legislature. On the other hand, Mark Newman was Scott Walker's opponent in a sometimes contentious primary for governor in 2010, and Eric Hovde, who's kind of a political newcomer, there's no real relationship there. So I'd be surprised if he endorsed someone other than Thompson or Fitzgerald. And Fitzgerald, the question about Fitzgerald goes to, you know, does he have a chance to win a primary? He's been lagging behind the other three in all the polling.
Mm-hmm. And why would he endorse Walker? What would motivate him to do
well,
so?
Well, for one thing, he could influence the outcome of the primary. If anybody could, he could. I mean, he is the kind of glue that holds the Republican Party together in Wisconsin. He has universal support among Wisconsin Republican voters, or all but universal support. And so, you know, his stamp of approval on one of these candidates who've been really kind of attacking each other's credentials and conservative credentials, and for the governor to come in and say, this guy is all right by me, could have an impact, very much so, especially in a kind of a crazy, close, open-ended, three-way race, taking the top three candidates right now, and the polls suggest are Thompson, Hovde, and Newman. And maybe he thinks that one of the candidates is better than the others, has a better chance of winning in the general election than the others, and he wants to push the electorate in that direction.
And who is the candidate who has the best chance of winning, would you say,
you know,
in the general?
You have to be, you know, approach that question with a little bit of humility, because, you know, you never know.
Right.
And it may depend on, the answer to that question may depend on kind of how the presidential race and what the election climate looks like in November. For example, if Mitt Romney is trailing President Obama by a half a dozen points like he is now in the polls in November, it's going to be very difficult for a Republican candidate to run 6 points ahead of Romney and win under those conditions. But Tommy Thompson might be somebody who could do that because he has a history of winning independent votes and some Democratic votes. So on paper, he would seem to be the guy that has the best chance of outperforming Mitt Romney in Wisconsin. But if it's really a nail biter at the presidential level, then it may be that any of two or three candidates has a chance of winning that race. But the polling has not been crystal clear. I mean, it's been clear that Thompson has had the best numbers outside the Republican base. And when you look at sort of favorable, unfavorable, he does better with non-Republican voters than the other guys. But, you know, some polls, Thompson is probably most of the polling, I guess, Thompson has done better in trial heats against Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat. But in some polls, he hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Your article yesterday was very interesting. Obama polls better in state than in the nation. All indications are, unless the economy really tanks, that the president may do very well in the state of Wisconsin. Why is that?
Well, just a caveat, you know, it is an open-ended situation here. I mean, we don't know if he's going to win Wisconsin, but right now he's doing better in Wisconsin than he's doing nationally, as he did in 2008. So, unless that changes, Wisconsin's not going to be a difference maker in the sense that it might have been in 2004 when we were right, when the country was 50-50 and Wisconsin was 50-50. Right now, you know, Obama's 1 or 2 points ahead, averaging out the national polls, but he's a half a dozen points ahead, maybe, averaging out the Wisconsin polling. And so so for Romney to really turn Wisconsin into a meaningful battle, he has to kind of erase that advantage that Obama has in Wisconsin relative to the rest of the country. And right now, obviously Obama is not doing as well as he did in 2008, and nobody expects him to win the state by 14 points, but he's not 14 points. So he's not 14 points ahead, but again, he is ahead. So, and part of that, when you drill down into the polling and sort of take that apart by voting group, just like other parts of the country, you know, he's doing really well with certain groups that have been very pro-democratic in recent years, like minority voters, young voters, and women, but particularly unmarried women. But he's hanging in there with voters that where Republicans really have to, you know, kind of make their hay, which is white males, older whites, blue-collar whites. These are voters where Obama is more vulnerable nationally and where Democrats tend to not perform as well nationally. But right now he's kind of competing. You know, he's either tied or a few points behind with those kinds of voters in Wisconsin. And as long as he does that, I mean, that's really enough to put him over the top because of his advantage with younger voters, with black and Hispanic voters, of which there aren't a whole lot in Wisconsin. But also, you know, you look at gender, you look at the gender gap, and particularly women who aren't married, massive margins for Obama. And that's a pretty sizable percentage of the electorate.
Craig Gilbert is our guest for All Things Political. We're in one of those days where our mind is on politics. Our minds are also on the act of domestic terrorism. All appearances are that's what it was in Oak Creek yesterday. And so we're looking at what the, if any, policy implications might develop as a result of these two horrendous shootings that have taken place in just a three-week period of time. Is it, as Craig suggested, something that will be a lasting legacy, or is it something that will pass what's happened to this country in the last just few weeks? So feel free to take this conversation where you want to at this point, because you're a big part of this conversation. We're talking also about, which is coming up pretty soon, it's a week from tomorrow, the GOP primary. Craig is on his way back from Washington to cover that extensively. He's also done a lot of writing about the presidential race in the state of Wisconsin. Craig is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The second hour of our program, we will devote completely to the shootings at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. There is more information coming out about the shooter, Wade Page, who was an Army veteran and a white supremacist. According to the Southern Law Poverty Center, this information from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he was a frustrated neo-Nazi who had been the leader of a racist white power band known as End Apathy. One of our guests, the second hour of the program, knows a great deal about hate groups, and he will know more about this particular band and the neo-Nazi movement in this country. And we'll also have a guest from the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee about the faith community response to this horror. So join us, okay? Here's our number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, if you'd like to use that, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Our lines are wide open, and there's so much to talk about today, so please join our conversation. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's our phone number for you to join the conversation this morning, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're talking with Craig Gilbert this hour of the program, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Big politics, but also because of the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek yesterday, we are asking if there's anything we can do. Is there anything we can do? A lot of people are consumed by that, and we will next hour continue the conversation about the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. A press conference will be held at 10 o'clock. We'll look at the man who people have identified as the shooter, and we'll talk about how our community is affected by this horror. So here come the phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we start our calls with Nick in Brierton. Hi, Nick.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Nick. We can hear you.
Yes. was another one in Colorado Springs, a terrible shooting, but the lady in church had a gun and killed him before he could injure more people. And you never hear about these. You only hear about the terrible ones that they kill the unarmed. If, more like that theater, guns were not allowed in the theater or the movie house. If some of them people would have had guns, they would have killed the Joker. That's all I've got to say. Thank you for your time. Bye.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. And that's part of the reason we have debate about guns in the country, that people believe that if there were more people who were armed, they could take down. There's something totally unnerving, to me at least, Craig, about guns in churches and having guns in temples, for heaven's sake. It's supposed to be a peaceful place of worship.
Well, yeah, I mean, and schools or other, you know, a lot of venues. But that is part of the debate, and that's you know, that was part of the response to the Aurora, Colorado shooting. The shooting he's referring to, I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either. I do wonder, you know, I get back to this, what it is we can do. And I wonder if policymakers today in Washington are not only talking about guns, but talking about hate and talking about acceptance of everybody. It just seems as though there should be a lot of soul searching going on after an incident like this, shouldn't there?
Well, we've seen in the past, I mean, certainly, you know, that happened after the Oklahoma bombings. I think it happens organically. I mean, I think policymakers are kind of at a loss in situations like this, and as journalists sometimes are too. I mean, in terms of what to make of it and how to react and how to even think about it and how to sort of imagine and analyze the effects. Again, partly because you know, these are events that sometimes kind of explode onto the scene and then recede from sight and recede from the horizon. Because it's all, there's always the question of, how do you take an event, a single event, and do you treat it as an isolated incident and a random act, or do you treat it as something that exposes some underlying underlying issue or problem or policy gap, and that becomes part of the debate with all these incidents. But you know, I find it hard to sort of talk about effects and talk about big lessons when these things happen, just because they are separate events that each involve their own circumstances.
Mm-hmm. We go to Beatty, is it, in Blanchardville. Hi.
Yes, good morning. I have two things. This reminds me of 1968. We have such a terrible time with people being killed. And the result of that was the change in elementary education, the respect for other races. It changed in our textbooks. It changed in the pictures of textbooks. It changed in the pictures of the color of dolls available in stores. This has to be changed at the very beginning of life, not 40-year-olds. To respect people that wear scarves, respect people that wear turbans, respect people that are black, respect people that are Muslim. How else are we going to make a change?
Craig?
I think you saw after, in the time, in the aftermath of 9/11, efforts for that kind of education, efforts to sort of forestall targeting of Muslims in the and I don't know, an event like this comes along, it's hard to see what the connection is between it and anything else that sort of happened in the world in recent times, and that's why why it's difficult to sort out.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear, I know the paper this morning, the Journal Sentinel, printed all of the condolences from various national officials and state officials and local officials. Did you hear anything unique from anyone?
No, but I probably didn't see everything either.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Beatty, for the call. Dan in Three Lakes. Hi.
Good morning. I'm a little curious. I guess we, since the last news broadcast, have some idea why people might view this as a hate crime. But I'm curious about the legislation people might think in the way of gun control that would have ameliorated or mitigated this. I don't know what kind of weapon this individual was using. But I do know that the incident out in Colorado involved a 100, by the way, I'm a hunter and I've got a closet full of guns, and I'm a former member of the NRA. I gave up on them for their rabidness. However, we currently, and since the 30s or 20s, have had legislation on the books in this country prohibiting the ownership, possession, sale, transfer, or transportation of fully automatic weapons, and in particular, machine guns that at that time in the 20s and 30s had a rotary magazine, although the machine gun teletype, old-fashioned machine gun, didn't hold 100 shots. That's still on the books and legal. The situation with this 100-shot magazine that kid used in Colorado is those at one time were legalized, and when the assault weapons ban came in, they were grandfathered in as an exception, the ones that had been sold and were on the market prior to that time. When we outlawed machine guns, they didn't do that. Machine guns were outlawed. If you had one, you had 90 days to turn it in. And there's no reason why we cannot do something similar with this 100-shot rotary magazine. And that is all I have to say.
Thank you very much for the call. Why is it that we decided we could do something with like the Brady Bill after President Ronald Reagan was shot, and we find it so difficult now? What has happened in the meantime politically, Craig?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Democrats, some Democrats, kind of shrank back from the issue because they sensed political vulnerability, and there were some elections where the gun issue was blamed for defeating Democrats. So you had a kind of a loss of will there on the part of Democrats. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's going to depend on to some degree on you know, the balance of power in the state and in the country. I mean, you're not going to have I think, for example, over the Republican House of Representatives, you're not going to see, you're certainly not going to see much gun control legislation, much less in a body that's, you know, narrowly controlled by Democrats. So that's just, you know, that just happens to be the political calculus of this issue right now. You know, in terms of, I don't know if we know in the case of the Oak Creek incident, whether you know, any kind of gun control legislation would have had an impact on that, you know, because you can imagine, unlike the Aurora case, I don't know if it's clear whether more people were killed or shot in this incident because of the kind of firearm this person possessed or was able to possess than what they might have been able to possess had their, you know, for example, the assault weapons ban still been in effect. So, you know, I think that's something you have to look at in terms of in the context of the discussion about gun control, in terms of the Oak Creek incident, which is, again, I guess my point is some of these incidents are all a little bit different. Motivations are different. Circumstances are different. The firearms used are different. The response is different. And so, so I think that's why you don't necessarily see kind of a consensus emerging around them over policy.
Right. Let's go to Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having this program. I'd like to strongly disagree with your guest about, you know, this bobbing and weaving about each one's a separate incident, blah, blah, blah. The fact is that America is so armed to the teeth that when someone gets a crazy idea in their head or loses their temper or whatever else happens, you know, end up with guns in our hands killing each other. There's no secret to that. You know, whether or not we should, you know, just ban assault weapons, et cetera, we can go around the block on that. But, and frankly, I think what's happened and the reason that we no longer have a really strong attempt to pass gun control legislation is that a lot of people on the left are now thinking about, hey, you know, there are so many crazies armed to the teeth out there on the right that I'm not sure I don't want to get armed. And not because, you know, in the these fallacies about, oh, yeah, if there was only somebody armed to the teeth in the church, that somehow this wouldn't have happened. That's just lunacy. But in terms of what might be happening down the road, everybody, I think, is so afraid of everybody else, and the fear-mongering has gone so far that, that even the people who would love to see gun control are thinking, hell, I don't want to be out here unarmed myself with all these other lunatics armed to the teeth.
Hmm. There is something unnerving about people being armed to the teeth. There is something unnerving about when the restrictions are eased somewhat that people go and register to get guns. It says something about our society, doesn't it, Craig? It says something significant, I think.
Yeah, I mean, how different is it? I mean, America has always been armed to the teeth. So I think, you know, historically, it's not a new circumstance in this country. Certainly the technology of weapons has changed, and that does affect the debate over things like, you know, what kinds of weapons, how we regulate certain kinds of weapons. But you know, in terms of something like the, my point about every incident being different is if you're going to talk about something like, the assault weapons ban, then that may be relevant to some of these incidents, and it may not be relevant to other incidents. If somebody, you know, has a shotgun and shoots five people in an office building, that is banning semi-automatic weapons has no impact on that at all. Nobody's talking about banning shotguns or regulating. I'm sorry, nobody's talking about registering or regulating shotguns. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, it is a fact of life in this country that we are armed to the teeth, that a very large percentage of the population in across the country, and including states like Wisconsin, has guns, and that has been the case for a long time.
The thing that was, I go back to the way I spent yesterday, which is watching a lot of people from the Sikh temple guide everybody through what happened here. And what was striking to me, Craig, was that all of these people were worth listening to, that there was something so, even though they were in the midst of horror, there was something so calm about their presence. There was something, you know, nobody was screaming and shouting about mm-hmm. things. They were just peaceful, even in the midst of such terror. It was, I kept thinking, and we're going to talk with somebody who's a leader who teaches at UWM during our 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, because I thought there's something that we need to listen to here. As I was watching all of these people, there was something important about their demeanor, and I keep using the word dignity, but there was something important about all of that.
Yeah, well, that's very impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was impressive. Hugh in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. First, on a different topic, I think there's something wrong with Wisconsin laws. You know, in 2011, when Prosser ran for justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he got a majority of the votes in the first primary, but he was forced to run in a second primary against Kloppenburg, where he won eventually. Now we're going to have a Senate primary for the Republicans. And there's no second primary. So in theory, somebody with a mere like 30% of the vote will be selected as a Republican nominee. I think this is unfortunate. On the other hand, about the weekend shooting, and of course the shooter should be, thank God the shooter was murdered, because we don't have the death penalty in Wisconsin, and we'd be supporting him for the rest of his life had he lived on. There are some who are going to say we need hate crime legislation. Surely it's a hate crime. But so is the one at the Batman movie theater. That was a hate crime. All murders like this are hate crimes. They should be considered as crimes, and the penalty should be execution. that the hate crime liberals are just going to, they want double standards for crimes. It's truly against due process and equality before the law. I just hope we don't expand any hate crime legislation. It was a hate crime, but so was every murder in the city of Milwaukee. Remember, we probably have more people dead in a month in the city of Milwaukee than in Oak Creek.
Craig.
Yeah, on the first point, the race for judge was a nonpartisan race, so you had a primary and a general election, just like we do in partisan races. The Senate race is a partisan race, so you have a partisan primary to decide the nominee of each candidate of each party, and then you have a general election. So they're very different in that sense, and I'm not quite sure I would agree with the caller's point about that process being problematic in that sense.
And in terms of hate crime, I mean, there is something we need to pay significant attention to when somebody walks into a Sikh temple and takes out a gun and starts shooting people. All crimes are horrendous, of course. Of course, they're all hate crimes in a way. But if you're targeting a certain group of people because you're thinking that, I don't know what he was thinking. I'm not going to even, I don't know. We don't know at this point. But there's something that we need to pay attention to with that. It's a different kind of, I don't accept these people, I'm going to kill these people because they're not like me. You know, there's sort of this Hitler kind of mentality about this that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, there is a legitimate, I think, debate over you know, the public policy piece of it, which is what's the proper response, you know, and is it one of kind of public education and awareness, or is there a place for, you know, enhanced penalties for crimes involving these kinds of circumstances? I think that's a legitimate debate to have. You know, there are in Germany, I think the tradition has been that they've actually banned certain kinds of political organizations that are kind of neo-Nazi organizations. And you would never find that, I think, in the happening here, because of our constitutional traditions. So you have different cultures, different countries sort of answering that question differently.
More phone calls in a moment. Craig Gilbert is our guest for All Things Political today. We are talking about, obviously the conversation is dominated by what happened in Oak Creek yesterday because of the enormity of that event and how we've all been affected by it. We also have a pretty big primary for the Republicans coming up a week from tomorrow. Craig has been covering that, and he will continue to cover that from Wisconsin. He's based in Washington, but he's on his way to Wisconsin today to look at that. So he's written about that race and also the presidential race in Wisconsin recently. He's everywhere. He's covering what's going on nationally and has a keen eye as to what's going on in the state of Wisconsin. Here's our phone number again, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, we will continue our conversation about the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. We will have with us Tom Heinen from the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee and Brian Levin, who is a professor of criminal justice and director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University. His books include Hate Crime, Understanding and Defining Hate Crime. There is a press conference at 10 o'clock. More information will be delivered at that time about the shooting and the shooter. More information, of course, has been gleaned about the shooter in the last 12 hours. And we will be keeping our ears on that press conference. We have reporters on the scene, and we are trying to bring you that press conference as well, if we can do so technically. Or a small operation, I know you understand, but we'll keep our ears on it, so we'll let you know all that's being said. Back to phone calls, we go to Rich in Sullivan. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Kathleen. Hello, Craig. I'm trying to make an utterly bizarre
suggestion on a Monday morning. Springboard, I would say the Puritans came to America to be pure, and we've suffered from that ever since. And here's my suggestion. Ethnic groups and racial differences in America have caused America to be armed to the teeth, not only with weapons, but with race. And I've welcomed a president who has described himself as, "I am a mutt." So here's the utterly bizarre suggestion. From the earliest days of childhood, children in America should be genetically tested, as the genetic testing was done on public television of Oprah Winfrey and Alex Haley and other people, to show them that genetically we can prove that none of us is any different than any of the rest of us, except in some sort of percentage mixture of racial background. That when you get right down to it, we need an education program that says, you know, on the outside we may look different, we may worship differently, but really, in order to be an American, you have to understand that you're not Irish or Lithuanian or Polish or Italian or Jewish, because in all likelihood, or African or Asian, in all likelihood, when we look at you closely, fellow or gal, you're every bit some part of all of the rest of humanity. And this is a springboard from the NRA slogan, guns don't kill people, people kill people. We need to learn very early the lyrics from South Pacific. You have to be taught to hate and fear. It has to be drummed in your dear little ear, because these kinds of nonsensical mass murders in America are typical as nowhere else on the planet Earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Craig.
Well, again, I would be very cautious about, you know, sort of drawing the lesson from an incident like this, that we have more, you know, there's more racial and ethnic discord and violence in America than there has been in the past. In fact, I think it's actually the opposite. I mean, if you go back and look in our history, you know, we're talking about kind of incidents here involving, you know, individuals, extreme individuals. But if you go back in our history, you can find periods of time when there was almost a constant state of violence between different racial and ethnic groups, where it was routine. And that's, you know, we forget that. And I think it's important to keep that perspective in mind. I mean, when you consider how multi-ethnic this country is, there's actually, you know, arguably, there's a, you know, I think there's not as much racial discord as you might expect or might think compared to other countries. I just think, you know, you have to sort of keep, I think that's an important thing to keep in perspective.
And yet there's also an incredible amount of ignorance in this country, Craig. It was amazing to me to realize how little most of us knew about the Sikh faith, for heaven's sake. You know, people have no idea. And here's this thriving community in Oak Creek and this profoundly interesting history of this faith. And most people didn't have a clue. We don't even know how to pronounce the name of the faith.
Yeah, and I think that awareness has risen again, particularly in the wake of 9/11, when you began to see Sikhs being targeted by some people, and I think it generated some media coverage along the lines that we're seeing now, which is sort of this is this group, this is the history of this group, they're not Muslims. So I think you know, that awareness is probably going up, and probably, you know, again, people's, you know, it's as the country becomes more diverse, I mean, that's going to have an effect on public awareness in general.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich, so much for your call. Carol in Oconomowoc. Hi.
Hi. I guess that I don't find it reassuring, first of all, that it's not nearly as bad as it used to be, so we ought to celebrate that. I don't think that should be the standard, but that wasn't when I told the screener I wanted to talk about. I think there's the elephant in the middle of the room is the NRA, and the NRA is completely inflexible with respect to their any sort of limitation of the rights of gun owners, and so you have this insanity with, you know, 100 bullet clips and all that, and I mean, it's easy to fix a semi-automatic to become an automatic weapon just by things you can kits you can buy on the internet. So now what is the real problem? I think the real problem is campaign finance reform. It's going to sound crazy, but the reason that you have, your guest was also talking about the timidity of Democrats, and I think it's the aggression of the right with respect to this issue, and they are fueled by funding from the NRA. Until we can get this crazy level of funding in support of these extreme positions out of politics, we are going to continue to see events like this, which are symptomatic of an inability for us, of our society, to cope with fundamental systemic problems.
Craig?
Well, I guess in response to the caller's first point, I'm not suggesting we celebrate ourselves. I'm just suggesting that, you know, a little, it's important, it's worth keeping a little historical perspective in order. I mean, we sometimes forget that the amount of discord and domestic violence in our past, and in a way that makes it seem like the country's kind of devolving socially when incidents like this happen. And that's, my point is that I don't think that's true. I just don't think historically that's the case. So it's not a matter of celebrating where we are today. It's just a matter of, you know, having a little historical perspective about this.
Thanks, Carol, for your call. Jim in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Remember, Attorney General John Mitchell, don't watch what we say, watch what we do. And the Sikh community spoke out yesterday, and they said that we say pray for peace, but we don't walk the walk on that. We use another four-letter word, P-R-E-Y, and we facilitate sale of guns at home and also sale of weapons overseas. And we try to, and this what goes around comes around with our treatment of people of color overseas, too, with the Iranians, for example, is a very dangerous situation. And so in terms of what we say to the world, it seems to me that we're hypocrites, and it reminds me of the line from Freddie Mercury of Queen in the song Tie Your Mother Down, what we say to the world. Your mommy and your daddy going to plague me till I die. I can't understand it. I'm just a peace-loving guy.
Craig.
No, I'll take a pass.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Always good to hear from you on Monday mornings. All right, so we have about a minute left. You're on your way to Wisconsin. You're covering the primary. Is anybody going to vote?
Well, that's a good question. It's the first August primary we've had because, you know, our primaries used to be in September, and then as a result of changes in the federal law, which demanded more time to collect the votes of people overseas and military personnel, it's been pushed earlier. And so, A, you know, are people going to vote in Wisconsin in August? B, after, are people so exhausted by all the politics we've had this year that even fewer are going to vote? I don't know. I mean, nobody really knows, and nobody really knows exactly how that impacts the outcome. It's just part of the mix of what's been a pretty crazy and unpredictable Republican race.
Mm-hmm. What a crazy and unpredictable year it's been.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. Have a good drive home.
Okay, thanks.
Craig Gilbert, our guest, the first hour of the program today for All Things Political, which of course took a different turn as a result of what happened yesterday in Oak Creek. And we will continue the conversation about the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, hour number two of our program. News reports now are identifying the shooter as Wade Michael Page, who served in the Army for several years. Southern Poverty Law Center is saying that he was a frustrated neo-Nazi who had been the leader of a racist white power band known as End Apathy. We'll find out more about that particular group. There is a press conference at 10 o'clock. We have our ears on that, and we hope to bring you at least some of that. We'll have a couple guests talking about the enormity and the significance and perhaps any policy changes as a result of this shooting. So that's coming up. Please stay with us. Thanks to Brett Jaspers and for producing this hour.